And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
There's so much that is good on this earth, good friends, good memories, good endings. Today we mix and match some of the wonders of our time. And we should. We have an election coming up. It's time to think of a better world, of a better time, of great thoughts and of those who inspire such. And then commit to a better fit of humans, creatures, plants, and the earth that sustains us. When we return, here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
All around the earth, we feel the changes. Every day brings new beginnings. When things go well, we share our sense of well-being, and we feel better. When they don't, our day is tarnished. We feel unsettled and perhaps unhappy. Well, today we are going to visit a series of great things, past, present, and future. We all know of great things. Each of us has our lockbox of treasured ideas and values that we hold sacred. That is as it should be, and as it should always be. We begin today's program with the news as usual, and then I feel a need to share the story of a great friend, a real story about a real dog named Apache. I stand firm that we must honor the wondrous beasts who share this planet, and today I share some memories of a great and miraculous friend. In our second segment, we visit greatness past. As we near our election here in America, there are many profound questions that people finally are beginning to take seriously. What is America? What is democracy? What is the meaning of freedom? And what right and obligation do we have to spread this wonderful system to others? Today we visit our National Park of the Week, 96th National Historic Park in South Carolina, and head back to the time when America was a British colony trying to cut its way into the heartwood of the future. The seeds then planted, we now try to keep alive. And in segment 3, some great news. One of the world's grandest wild places, which has been in a struggle to maintain its wild nature as the pressures to extract the wealth locked within the bedrock have bedeviled Montana's Rocky Mountain fronts. They're suddenly set free from this struggle. In a sudden reversal, the Department of Interior removes the pressures of development for reasons we are trying to understand. But no matter what the reasons, we can say thank you to America's Department of Interior for their wisdom and dedication to protecting the natural wealth of our people. So, let's begin. And now, the news. Flip-flopping is in the news these days and spins a tale of incompetence. But the administration's sudden flip-flop on their determination to push through natural gas exploration along Montana's Rocky Mountain front is greeted with a resounding, almost universal sigh of relief. The Front Range, which runs for over 100 miles along a north-south line beginning south of Glacier National Park, represents some of America's most spectacular open spaces, teeming with cougar, grizzly, elk, and in contrast, not all that many humans. The area is a grand repository of the grand American land. Efforts to explore and develop potential natural gas sites along this corridor were suddenly on the front burner of the BLM in recent months. But for reasons that we will explore later in the broadcast, the push for development has been retracted by the BLM. In hearings and public input leading up to the environmental impact assessment, citizens overwhelmingly, by a margin of 99% to 1%, opposed such development. Yet the BLM forged ahead with its plans. Some would say that the decision was based on political realities, as the decision portrays an administration that is flexible and sensitive to the public. The mix of supporters was heavily represented by advocates from environmental, recreational, hunting, and fishing interests. Some would say it is a sign that the battle for America's public land and landscapes is entering a new phase in its long and difficult mission. This decision has a lot of people very happy, thanks to whatever and whoever made this happen. On another front, gas prices have reached a new high, for U.S. consumers as a barrel of oil reached over $50. The increased cost of oil is finally appearing at the gas pumps, as the average price for gas for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline reached $1.93. This may be the beginning of a new climb to new price levels. It comes at a difficult time as the American economy struggles to find firm footing. The new prices have made this a slippery slope struggle. No answers to lowering prices appear visible in the near future. The struggle to put an end to the radical fishing technique of bottom trawling, in which steel nets are dragged along sea bottoms, destroying far-reaching ecosystems that have been stable at sea depths of a mile and more for thousands of years, reached the United Nations Tuesday. The practice seems dramatically out of phase with the efforts to change the depleting oceanic realms, as 90% and more of all the fish caught from bottom dredging are considered wastage in the effort to bring exotic fish at high prices to the mouths of exotic consumers. 11 nations permit bottom trawling as acceptable in their array of fishing practices. These nations include Norway, New Zealand, Iceland, Russia, Japan, Spain, Portugal, and Denmark. The practice, which seems doomed in the long term due to global pressures to cooperate for a sustainable world, unfortunately is causing a rapid acceleration of the practice while it is still possible. Humans around the planet are encouraged to become conscious of the need for global cooperation now more than ever if the oceans are to survive. And from Luxembourg, Motor Development International is gearing up for the launch of its air car line next year, which runs on compressed air, can travel at 50 miles per hour for up to 70 miles or longer at lower speeds. What comes out of the tailpipe? The same air that went in. The requirement to use electricity to refill the air tanks has its downside indeed, but the upside is hope for better ideas. And that's the news. And now a few announcements. The Wildside News is the voice of the Earth Radio Network. You can become an official friend by clicking on any Become a Friend link, filling out the simple form, and emailing it to us. Together, we will change the world. Show your support for our conscious, cooperative alliance to grow our future on good science, good spirit, and peace. Join now. And if you feel compelled to support the Wildside News, contact us through the same page, and we will talk with you personally to see how we may work together. Thanks for listening. It's no secret that I, Sidney Wildsmith, proclaim my belief that life is a miraculous reality, and it seems odd to me that we are struggling to make this point, often to some of our close allies in the scientific communities who seem to dismiss such thoughts as emotionally based rather than empirically sound. Well, as a scientist, I give the following evidence. A number of years back, I lived in New Mexico on 16 beautiful acres south of Santa Fe. Across the deep arroyo were our good friends Rick and Phil and a dog named Apache. She was a beautiful silver Siberian husky, one of the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen. One of the first times I met Apache was at a party at Rick and Phil's place. I remember talking with someone late in the evening when the edges get a little fuzzy. I turned to find this elegant, smiling-faced dog following our conversation. She was absolutely upright. Her face was at our level. She kept herself upright by standing on her two hind paws and touching my arm so lightly with one paw that I could not feel it. Now, we had a wonderful dog, a Navajo dog named Bean Dog. Bean Dog and Apache became great friends. Bean Dog acted like a wise old grandma to this young female from across the arroyo. As fine a dog as Bean Dog was, Apache was a natural rebel. Rick and Phil had chickens, magic chickens that laid pastel eggs. But Apache didn't hesitate killing any hen that flew out of the pen, and this was the beginning of real trouble for her. For you see, Rick and Phil also had a bright green parrot that would fly out each morning and return each evening. Once, when Rick and Phil were gone, the house sitter discovered the great parrot dead. Apache had, for some reason, killed it. When Rick and Phil returned, this was the last straw, and although Phil was ready to kill her, he didn't. And Apache was taken to the Santa Fe Humane Society and adopted by a doctor in Taos, 80 miles north of Santa Fe. And it was about this time that Bean Dog one day walked away, as dogs do, and never returned. We knew that our neighbors were upset with Apache, so we went to talk with them about adopting Apache to find out, but unfortunately found out that they had already gotten rid of her. In a few days, something magic happened. Apache returned. She knew where home was, and within approximately 3 days had traveled cross-country over 100 miles to be back home. She had simply shown up one day with that smile. It was the smile that worked the magic. So we felt it sort of an omen that we were meant to have her and imagined that we could get her to understand that she was to now cross the arroyo to live with us forever. I will always remember how she followed us across the deep arroyo and from that day forward lived with us. Apache was a dog of great passion and imagination. One day Apache disappeared. She was gone for days. Then suddenly she reappeared, excited and smiling, greeted us wildly, gulped down a bowl of water, wolfed down the food that we had put down for her, and then went bounding wildly out the back door, running full speed towards the deep arroyo. We went across the arroyo to Rick and Phil's, but they hadn't seen her for a long time. Days went by, and then one day the same scene happened all over again. Leaping into the house, greeting, drinking, feeding, and gone. Then the pattern changed. She would visit almost every day. It was as if she was excited about something. So finally one day, when she dashed off, we followed her, and she ran off, her lithe legs flying as she ran across the land and quickly into the deep arroyo. We followed, but she was gone. We called and whistled and called again, but she was nowhere to be found. In the deep arroyo, there was an old coyote den, which dug back deep into the mud bank about 10 feet. Could she possibly be there? We needed a flashlight, and when we returned and shone the light into the deep hole, two eyes and that smiling face beamed from within. This continued for weeks. We learned that she was likely waiting for puppies, but alas, as days turned to weeks, no puppies. And then one day, she was back. Not as exhilarated, but she was back. She had been caught up in a false pregnancy. She was an animal of raw instinct. She grew and matured, and false pregnancies happened about once a year. We grew accustomed to her disappearances, but she was a great dog, and mellowed a bit with age. But not much. She could run like a cyclone when she wanted to. One day, we came home to find Apache peering steadily like a pointer, her attention fixed on something under the house. This was the first time I'd seen this behavior. As I followed her gaze, I noticed a rattlesnake coiled up by our outdoor propane bottles. I thought I'd scare it off by throwing a few rocks near the bottles, but this only drove the snake deeper under the house. Realizing this could be a long wait, I determined I had to remove the snake from potentially under my feet permanently, and I did. One day Apache returned at the end of a desert summer's day and could barely make her way up the steps. She was walking in slow motion. One foot moved slowly up to the next step, then her body trembled up, and this continued on into the house. She inched her way across the wooden floor, then dropped. Her breathing was heavy and burdened, and we noticed that her neck seemed to be swollen. It took a while to notice the two small punctures on her black lower lip. She had been bitten by a rattler. We drove her off to the vet, who gave her the antibodies that might help her live, and then we waited, and the effects of the venom were ferocious. Her head and neck swelled until she did not even look like a dog, and she laid motionless for 2 days. Then, on the third day, she managed to get to her feet and slowly made her way to the door. She trembled down the steps and then slowly walked away. It was difficult leaving that day for appointments in Santa Fe, but we had to, and we figured nature would handle this. When we returned in the evening, there was no Apache. It was a long, awkward night. In the morning, we headed out, calling and looking, but finally made a slow, rambling walk back to the house. Tears in our eyes, our beloved magic Apache was gone. As we sat on the steps, a familiar sound caused us to look up and out, and like a crazed angel, Apache ran at us, leaped past us in one bounding, joyous flight, came back and licked our faces and danced and smiled. Apache was back, as always in her own spirited way, and she was completely restored. No swelling, no slowness. It was as if a miracle cure had taken place. We never came to know how this happened, or what made her so well so suddenly, but I have always imagined that evening she met a coyote trickster who recognized her for what she was, a spirit of the wind and earth, beautiful, lithe, and he worked his magic. The creatures on this earth, they are so much more than we generally acknowledge. I personally believe each one is as present in their world and in their self as anyone I meet. And this will be how I know the world for all of my life on this earth. For me, my belief gives me more than I could ever lose, even wondering if I am right or wrong. It really does not matter. It is a divine gift that enriches my soul. Apache is long gone now, but she was a miraculous dog. And you know, one of the things I certainly encourage all of you to do is, if you have your own stories about your animal friends, please send me an email and give me the details. Because the wild creatures give us so much. As a scientist, I know one of the challenges we have sometimes is talking with our own people, the scientists who help to preserve the wild places. And sometimes it's as if they too don't understand the depth that I feel about the extraordinary spirit of the creatures all around us. They become a little bit too much meat and numbers. So I'm encouraging all people everywhere to awaken to the extraordinary beauty and magical wonder of the wild creatures here on planet Earth. So when we return, we head to the back country of the early English countryside in America, the year 1770, the place 96. So get ready to meet America's founding stock when we return here on the Wild Side News, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.